This morning's shiur is being sponsored by the Levenbrown family, commemorating Irwin's father's yard site, Aryeh Ben Yitzchak, which will be on Rosh Chodesh Teves this coming Friday. This is the first shiur from Rav Sacks in a long time. Since his investiture in the Rosh Yeshiva in Landers, we hope that this will be the first of a continuing, regularly scheduled shiurim like we used to have.
Get your ID card.
You cover the gut over sex.
Okay, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be back after experiencing a window of withdrawal. I had assumed the Baruch Hashem we would continue on Sunday morning, so the offer certainly is there. When you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Dal Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam describes that the mitzvah of Chanukah is Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od, is something which is quite dear and precious to all of us, even to the extent the Rambam writes that if a person is absolutely without an absolute ani, he's obligated to beg, to borrow. The Rambam writes that even Mocher Ksuso, if necessary, to be willing to sell the shirt off his back in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. The Lord Sameach has a diuk in the Rambam. When that Rambam describes the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the Rambam writes that one has to thank abundantly HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this nes, and the Lord Sameach writes perhaps that indicates that an ani is obligated even to do that, to fulfill the mitzvah of Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, not just simply to have minimally a single candle, but an ani has to beg and borrow even to fulfill the various tiers of Ner Chanukah as well, against what the Mishnah Berurah and many poskim assume, that an ani, if he'll fulfill the Ikar HaMitzvah, that is considered to be sufficient. But the Rambam writes that the Nani is obligated literally to sell his clothing to see to it that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is fulfilled. Somewhat unclear exactly what is the source of this Rambam. Magid Mishnah writes it's based on a Mishnah in Psachim and Dav Tzaritah Samadays, and that is where the Mishnah tells us in the context of Dalet Kosos, that if a person is an ani, lo yichesu lo me arba kosos, we're obligated to see to it that we provide him with the Dalet Kosos for the Seder. And the Magid Mishnah concludes with a very fascinating line that if this is true regarding the Dalet Kosos, Kol Shkein, it is certainly true regarding Ner Chanukah. Now, the Mishnah is bothered by that Kal V'chomer. Why should it be a Kal V'chomer? You see from the Seder night, from Dalet Kosos, that Pirsum Nisa requires everyone's participation, and therefore it is necessary that even an ani has to fulfill this mitzvah as well. In the Chora, one would have said that the hu hadin ami, and the same thing should apply when it comes to Chanukah, which is also Pirsum Nisa. Why does the Magid Mishnah write a technical question, Kal V'chomer, that if it's true regarding Dalet Kosos, certainly it's true when it comes to Ner Chanukah? One possibility that you find in Shlos Yaakov, in Simin Mem Dalet, you find in Avnei Nezer as well, is the Tosfos already points out that there are various degrees of Pirsum Nisa. When the Gemara in Shabbos discusses that in Tefillah we recite, as we did this morning, Al Anisim, the Gemara questions, is that also true in Birkas HaMazon? Or maybe one should argue that Al Anisim is limited to Tefillah. Of course, the conclusion of the Gemara that even in benching we recite Al Anisim as well. So Tosfos is bothered, why would you distinguish? Why would you argue in Tefillah yes, but in Birkas HaMazon, no? So Tosfos writes, because after all, the very nature of tefillah is something which is tzibur, something which is clearly public, and maybe that is the great kiyama of Pirsum Nisa. When a person in the privacy of his own home in benching recites Al Anisim, so in such a case, relatively speaking, there is less Pirsum Hanes, and therefore Tosfos argues that the Gemara suggested that maybe for tefillah b'tzibur, yes, Al Anisim, but not necessarily for Birchas HaMazon b'yachid. You see from Tosos that whether the Pirsum Hanes is public, private, that also is a factor in the extent of Pirsum Nisa. So the Shlos Yaakov Navnenes are right, isn't that also a difference between Ner Chanukah as opposed to Dalet Kosos? When it comes to the Seder, yes, Kol Dich Ben Yeseh V'Yecho, we invite others to participate as well, but relatively speaking, this is something that that we do in the confines of our own home. When it comes to Ner Chanukah, there's a greater element of Pirsum Menisa. After all, Mikar Hadina de Gemara, you light the Ner Chanukah at the Tefach, Samuch LePesach, that everyone in Rosh Hashanah will perceive the Ner Chanukah, and therefore there is a greater Kima, Pirsum Hanes, in Ner Chanukah than there is in Dalar Kosos, and maybe hence the Kavachomer, the Magid Mishnah, if even when it comes to Dalar Kosos, an ani has to sell the shirt off of his back, then certainly it is true for the great Pirsum Menisa that we experience during Chanukah. Another possibility could be as follows. Even if a person would not have Dalar Kosos, do you mean to say at the Seder there wouldn't be any Pirsum Hanes? The person would still be engaging in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. The person would still be eating matzah. Maybe he wouldn't have the fullest expression of Pirsum Menisa, but there would be an element of Pirsum Menisa, certainly ours, involved in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. When it comes to Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah of Pirsum Menisa is Hadlakas Aneiros. And if the Ani were not to participate, therefore that would greatly, greatly limit and restrict any aspect of Pirsum Menisa, and perhaps that is the Kal Vachomer that you have of the Magid Mishnah. But the Rambam is clear that an Ani is obligated Limkor Ksusa in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Let's give the following question. What about when it comes to Ner Shabbos, each and every week? The Rambam does describe in Perakei Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Shabbos the importance of the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, that everyone has to participate, even in Ani. But is there an obligation that literally you have to sell the shirt off your back in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos? So if you look in the Vilna Gaon in two places, in Hilchos Shabbos, Reis Samach Gimel, Hilchos Chanukah, Tafresh Ayin Aleph, the Vilna Gaon assumes that yes, what is true of Ner Chanukah is also true when it comes to Ner Shabbos. And that's in fact what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Reis Samach Gimel. Reis Samach Gimel is Hilchos Shabbos. There the Mishnah Berurah writes that when it comes to Ner Chanukah, an ani must be Mocher Ksuso. And the Bir Halacha writes in Vehu HaDin Hocha, the same thing is true when it comes to Ner Shabbos as well. What is true of Ner Chanukah is also true of Ner Shabbos. But if you look in the Rambam, one could suggest that it doesn't necessarily seem that way. Because the Rambam describes, Perek Daleh Halacha Yud Beis, of Hilchos Chanukah, the need of the Ani to participate. And there, and only there, the Rambam stresses the need to sell the shirt off of his back. In Hilchos Shabbos, Perekei Halacha Aleph, the Rambam, yes, highlights the prominence of the obligation of Ner Shabbos, but the Rambam does not write, you have to be Mocher Ksusa. So perhaps if one were to look at that Rambam quite literally, only Ner Chanukah, yes, because of the abundant Pirsum Menisa, but not necessarily true when it comes to Ner Shabbos. If that really is true, that Ner Chanukah, yes, but Ner Shabbos, no, you know, that could give rise to a certain dilemma, a certain paradox. Let's assume, for example, that it's this coming Erev Shabbos, and this ani does not have any shemen whatsoever. So you'll tell the ani that, look, you have to be willing to sell the shirt off your back to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, right, as the Rambam writes in Perek Dalet, Halyach Yerbeis. The ani goes ahead and does so. He sells, and now he goes ahead and purchases, right, a single ner. And let's assume, as the Mishnah Berurah writes, one is considered to be sufficient. And all of a sudden you turn to the ani and say, yeah, but doesn't the Gemara tell us in Shabbos that if a person only has one Ner, and you have to choose between Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos, that Ner Shabbos is Adif because of Shalom Bayis. So now that you have that Ner, use it for the purpose of Ner Shabbos. And then he turns to you and says, but for Ner Shabbos, the Rambam writes that I don't have to be Mocher Ksusa. So the person on Thursday would be obligated to do so to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. What exactly would you do on Friday? You would argue that since that Ner is not going to go for the purpose of Ner Chanukah, then don't do so. So unusual. So on Thursday he sells, but on Friday he goes without. Or you're going to argue that, no, now use it for Ner Shabbos, but Ner Shabbos, the Rambam seems to indicate, does not require that extent, that you have to go ahead and sell your garments in order to fulfill this mitzvah. So very simply, what would a person do at that particular time? You know, if he knows the sugyas well enough, you know, maybe he could go ahead and purchase a ner that has a very foul-smelling odor, a resin that is kosher for Ner Hanukkah and not for Ner Shabbos, and therefore he could solve somewhat of his dilemma. The only thing he could use it for is ner Hanukkah, not Ner Shabbos. But how would you resolve, in a broad sense, that dilemma? So it's an interesting issue that some of the contemporary Achronim deal with. I would suggest a fascinating answer based on a comment that the Klei Chemda has in Parshas Vayetzeh. The Klei Chemda is bothered by the following. When you look in the Gemara introduction, that Chof Tesim Adayz, the Gemara raises this issue. You know, all those sugyas of Mitzvah Shazman Grama and Kibbut Avaim, a person has a choice of two mitzvahs. He doesn't have the funds for both. Either the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel or the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. So the Gemara debates which would take precedence over the other. Do we assume the Pidyon HaBen? Do we assume Aliyah L'Regel? After all, Aliyah L'Regel is here and now, and Pidyon HaBen in principle I could do at a later window of time. So that is my focus between Ravid and the Chachamim. That Ravid says Aliyah L'Regel, the Chachamim maintain Pidyon HaBen. Klei Chemda, in the name of the Chelkas Yoav, raises the following kasha. Why is there even a dilemma? Isn't it obvious that Pidyon HaBen should come first? Why is that true? Because let's assume a person really has no funds. The person is destitute. So in such a case, isn't there a halacha when it comes to a typical mitzvah that hamavazveiz ayavazveiz yoser mechomesh? That the Torah doesn't expect that you're going to spend your very last penny to fulfill each and every mitzvah. If it's to avoid an isra lo sasei, then a person's expected to give up everything that he has to do so. But if simply it means failure to fulfill a mitzvah sasei, there's a cap. A person is not obligated to spend every cent that he has in order to fulfill a mitzvah sasei. No, that's what the Gemara writes. That's what you find a lengthy bir halacha tafresh and vav. Hamavazveiz al yavazveiz yoser mechomesh. So when it comes to Aliyah L'Regel, Aliyah L'Regel is a mitzvah, a very important but a mitzvah, and therefore if a person doesn't have, he's exempt. What about when it comes to Pidyon HaBen? Would you argue when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, Hamavazveiz al yavazveiz yoser mechodesh? So here, the Chelkas Yoav and the Klei Chemda write as follows. There is an aspect of Pidyon HaBen which is priyasachov. It's a payment, it's a debt that one owes to the Kohen. That's what the Vilna Gaon writes in Simin Shin Hei, that Pidyon HaBen is a priyasachov, a priyasachov. When it comes to paying back a debt, is there really such a halacha that we treat paying back a debt as a mitzvah and therefore we apply the cap of chomesh? Imagine I borrow $1 million and I tell you, you know, I'm still working on my fifth million and therefore until I reach that cap, I don't have to pay you back. Certainly not. There's no halacha of chomesh when it comes to priya sachov. It's true that sometimes Bezdin will say the money is owed, and sometimes Bezdin will kind of sort out a payment plan to see to it that you will be able to live and pay back the chov, but in principle, there's no ptur of chomesh at all when it comes to priya sachov. So therefore, if it's a choice of priya sachov as opposed to the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel, isn't it obvious that the priya sachov of Pidyon HaBen should come first? Not because necessarily of a hierarchy of mitzvahs, but simply because your financial status exempts you from aliyah l'regel. It doesn't exempt you from paying the coin the five slime, and therefore whatever limited funds you have should go for the purpose of Pidyon HaBen. That's the question that the Chelkas Yoav and the Klei Chemda raise. So why is it a machlokes in the Gemara? Why is it obvious that you're exempt from Aliyah L'Regel, you're obligated in Pidyon HaBen, and therefore that should take priority over Aliyah L'Regel? That's their question. So the Klei Chemda writes the following answer. Interesting chiddush. The Torah tells us that if a person is so poor and he doesn't have, good, he's exempt from fulfilling certain mitzvahs. Why exactly is that true? Is that just a chok? Why is that true? That the Torah says we don't encourage, we don't expect a person to go ahead and spend his last penny in order to go ahead and to fulfill this mitzvah. So the answer seems to be as follows. I have someone in my shul who had many children in different schools, and they had to apply for a scholarship from school A, right? Because it was difficult to pay the full tuition. So they said, look, we'll grant you that scholarship, 50 cents on the dollar, but one question. What are you paying the other schools? The other schools? Are you paying them full tuition, or are you also getting a reduction? You know, if you're getting a reduction from those other schools, we'll reduce your tuition as well. But you know, if you're paying full tuition there, why should we reduce our intake in order that you pay full tuition there? That was the psak of the tuition. The Balabas discussed that with me. No? That's the chiddush of the Chalkas Yoav Reich in the following sense, in the Kleichenda. Look, why do you think the Torah says that if you don't have, you're going to be exempt from fulfilling this mitzvah society? Because the Torah tells us this. You have so little funds, that's all you have to your name. Better that you should spend that money on your basic needs, on providing for the basic needs of your family, than spend the money on the fulfillment of this particular mitzvah. The halacha didn't exempt a person from spending his funds for this mitzvah in order that he should take those funds and not spend it on his family, but spend it for another mitzvah. The reason for the financial exemption is because take those funds, those money saved, and use it for basic necessity. In other words, like that tuition committee, if by giving you a reduction you'll be able to better care for the needs of your family, we're willing to do that. But we're not going to give you the deduction to use the money elsewhere and not to see to it that you pay for your basic needs. And to finish that, the kleishenda writes, if a person does not have ample funds, we'll exempt him from aliyah l'regel. We'll exempt him from aliyah l'regel for the purpose of taking those funds that are saved and using it for his basic needs. But you know what? If we see that he's going to take the money saved from aliyah l'regel and just use it for the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, so the mitzvah of the regel is going to come forward and say, we didn't exempt you from our mitzvah in order to use the money, right, for that purpose. And if that's true, we're not exempting you at all. That's the Chiddush of Tehillim that writes that the exemption, because of financial standing of the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, is in order to make it somewhat easier to provide. But if for whatever reason the money is not going to go for that purpose, we are not exempting you. And therefore you're chayv in aliyah l'regel, you're chayv in pidyon haben, and hence the machlokes in the Gemara, which one will take precedence over the other? It's not really true to say that you're exempt from one and you're obligated in the other. That's the chiddush that the Kleichenda writes to answer that question, the Gemara Kedushin of Chav Tenis. One could suggest now the following issue. The Rambam writes, if a person really doesn't have, you know what? We're going to exempt him from Ner Shabbos. You know, because instead of spending the money on Ner Shabbos, take care of the basic needs that you have right in-house. But you know what? If I know that by my exempting you from the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, you are going to take those funds and you're going to use it for the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, and not use it for the intended purpose of taking care of the basic needs, then I'm not willing to exempt you from the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. We'll exempt you if the exemption will result in your ability to provide. But to exempt you from Ner Shabbos, to light Ner Hanukkah, what do you mean? If it's a choice of Ner Shabbos or Ner Hanukkah, Ner Shabbos is obvious. Why should I exempt you from Ner Shabbos to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah? And therefore, I would suggest in that case, a person would be obligated limkor ksuso for Ner Shabbos, because there's no exemption. On a typical Shabbos, there will be an exemption, because the money saved, you're going to use for that purpose. But if I know going in that that's not the case, you're going to take that money and use it for another mitzvah. So in such a case, then there is no such exemption at all. So I think it's an interesting suggestion, right, based on that comment of the Klechemda, to resolve that type of dilemma. But no doubt, it does indicate the prominence of Persumenisa. That Persumenisa in a vacuum requires that a person is willing to go ahead and to be mocher ksuso in order to go ahead and to fulfill, right, that element of the mitzvah. That's part of the greatness of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. In fact, there is a machlokas, the Rambam and the Rashba. Is there a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah if there is no Pirsum Hanes? What happens in the earlier times when a person, let's say, would light outdoors? We know that the Zman Hadlak is Mishatishka Hama, from sunset to nightfall, until people are no longer found on the streets. What happens if in earlier times a person would come home and it's already Lachar Shetich L'Regam Anashok and no one is outdoors? The Rambam writes in Peragdadat Ochas Chanukah, there's no longer any mitzvah. Once it's Lachar Shetich L'Regam Anashok, and therefore there's no Pirsum Hanes, there's no independent mitzvah Sadlaka. And the Rashba disagrees and writes an interesting chiddush that no, that there really are two kiyumim. There's a mitzvah of hadlakas haneros, and there is an added element to the mitzvah, an added kiyum of persumenisa. And ideally, of course, one were to fulfill both, but even if this would be in the middle of the night, it's 3 a.m, and someone knocks on your door and says, you know what, I didn't yet read the Megillah. So would you say, too late? You would say, you know, ideally you should have read the Megillah B'tzibur at the appropriate time to have the greatest Pirsum Hanes, but you know what? There's a mitzvah, Kriyas HaMegillah, independent of the Pirsum Hanes. And we would cite the Mishnah in Megillah Daf Chaf that if a mitzvah is Noheges B'Laila, mitzvah Sokol HaLaila, mitzvah is all night. The Rashba writes the same thing is true even when it comes to Ner Chanukah as well. So the Rashba writes that there's a mitzvah sadlaka even independent of Pirsumenisa, and the Rambam disagrees and writes that really that is not true at all. Once you reach the time of Ad Shetich L'Regel Menashuk, in such a case, that's it. There's no longer any mitzvah whatsoever. You know, the Rambam writes in his time, that was about a half hour. Because, you know, a half hour after sunset, people didn't venture outside. It was pitch black in the recent blackout. No, at night, the streets were deserted. You know, it's unusual to some extent to cite that Rambam for us today, that the Ner Chanukah has to burn a half hour. So I don't know if that was true in his time, because after a half hour, that's it. There was no Persimonisa. The Ritva is explicit in Shabbos, in the Chof Aleph Madeis, that the Gemara doesn't tell us a set window, a set shear, because the Ritva writes that all is subjective. It depends on time and place, and therefore, if you live as we do in communities where Tif HaRegam HaNashuk is a much broader window of time, so there's a more abundance of Persumenisa, and ideally that the Ner should continue to burn for as much of that duration as possible. That's the greatest element of Persumenisa. But the Rambam view, an interesting chiddush, that there is no independent mitzvah of Hadlaka if there is no longer any Persumenisa. In fact, the Shar HaTzion and Tafrei Shain Beis of Katan Yud Zayin describes halacha maisa. A person, let's say, is on a business trip. He's in his hotel room, the light, right, and there's no Persumenisa whatsoever. So what does he do? So the Magen Avraham writes not to make a bracha on such hadlaka, because is there a mitzvah of hadlaka without any persimonisa? And the Shar HaTzion quotes the Chemed Moshe that writes one could even make a bracha because of the mitzvah of hadlaka even if there is no persimonisa. And the Mishnah Berurah writes in Shar HaTzion that if a person follows the Chemed Moshe and makes the bracha, imokim biyodo, that's okay. We don't stop a person from doing so. But the machlokes even the halacha. To what extent there is a mitzvah hadlaka void of any element of Persimonisa? But the Pirsum Hanes of Ner Chanukah certainly is an inherent quality of this particular mitzvah. You know, when it comes to Chanukah, we commemorate and celebrate Chanukah in different ways. But number one, the mitzvah of Hadlakas Haneros, that certainly is true. And additionally, as the Gemara writes in Shabbos and Daf Chaf Aleph, there are days of Hallel V'Hodah. So Hadlakas Haneros and Hallel and Hodah, a twofold commemoration of the significance of Chanukah. And if one were asked, why exactly is that true? Why is it that we celebrate in a twofold manner? Perhaps what first comes to mind is very simply because Chanukah is a dual celebration and a dual commemoration. On the one hand, we commemorate the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, and simultaneously, we commemorate the Nes of v'nisachon, our victory over the Yevanim and the Misyavnim. And therefore, if one had to align these factors, maybe one would argue exactly at that point that isn't it clear that the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros corresponds to the nes of the Pach HaShemen? But the Hallel in Hodah, isn't that for our own salvation? That we were faced with assimilation, we were faced with a dire threat, and we emerged victorious, so therefore that elicits a great sense of Hallel v'Hodah. So maybe one could kind of create that dichotomy to decompartmentalize as though that the Hallel v'Hodah, that is for the Nitzachon of the Mochama, and the Hadlokas HaNeiros is because of the Nes of the Pach HaShemen. What seems to indicate differently, that very Gemara in Shabbos and the Chof Aleph, the Gemara raises the question, my Hanukkah? And the Gemara tells us, right, the whole episode of the great nes of the Pach HaShemen. How all that was found was a single Pach of Shemen Tahar, which was sufficient to last one night, one Gerson Shiltos. It was insufficient to last even one night. Explains the nes even on the first day as well. And miraculously it burned for 8 days until we could replenish that supply of Shemen Tahar. And the Gemara says, as a result, Lashana Acheres, Kivaum Va'asaum, Yamim Tovim, Bahalo V'Hoda. And therefore Chazal established this as a yentiv, replete with Halal and Hoda. The Gemara seems to indicate that the Chiyuv of Halal V'Hoda is a function of the Nes of the Pach HaShemen. Unusual. I would have said that the Gemara maybe could have concluded that's why Chazal established a mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNeiros. But no, that's why that these days are Halal V'Hodah. And unusual, when we are Madlik L'Ner Chanukah, we say HaNeiros Halala, HaNeiros Halala is a Braisa. In Masechta Sofrim, our practice is that after we make the brachos, then subsequently HaNeiros Halala is recited. It's interesting. The Gerson Masechta Sofrim that we have is that you light Mahadlik, then HaNeiros Halala, followed by Shechianu and Shasanisi. The brachos and the nes are after HaNeiros Halala. You know, it's reminiscent of the Seder, where first we engage in the Sipra Yetzias Mitzrayim, we describe the nes, and then afterwards we recite the brach on the nes of Asher Golanu. Well, that's what the Masechta Sofrim writes when it comes to HaNeiros Halala. You know, let's elaborate on that which we are doing before you recite the bracha on the nes and the bracha of Shechianu. An interesting chiddush in the Masechta Sofrim that we really don't follow. But we light, we recite HaNeiros Halala. HaNeiros Halala emphasizes the Yeshuas, the Mochamos. Kind of we incorporate the Mochama in the Halakas HaNeiros. And the Gemara writes that the purpose of the Yimei Hallel V'Hodah commemorates the nes of the Pach HaShemen. So that dichotomy, that distinction between Pach HaShemen and Mochama is not real. Well, there's a certain symmetry, there's a certain confluence of the dual experience of Hanukkah. The nes of the Pach HaShemen as well as the Yeshua that we experienced at that time. I've often mentioned that perhaps this could be understood based on the known comment of the Ramban, the very end of Parshas Bo, that why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs Nisim Gluyim? Why are they necessary? What is their function? What is their purpose? So the Ramban writes that the purpose of a Nes Nigla is way beyond the miraculous event of the moment, but rather a Nes Nigla informs. The Ramban writes, "Min HaNisim HaGdolim HaMeforsamim Adamod Benisim HaNistari," that when a person experiences a Nes Nigla, it hones one's vision to appreciate that everything is a result of Hashgachas Hashem. The Ramban writes that this is part of our Ikari Emunah. The Ramban writes that a person does not have a chelek with Taras Moshe Rabbeinu, Archenamin, Bechol, Vreinu, Mekreinu, Kula Nisim, Ein Bolam, Teva, Min Havashal Olam. Everything is an ace. There's no such thing as a natural process. In order to remind us of this fact, that everything, on Nisecha, Shebechol, Yomimanu, so at times, there are moments, there are windows of an ace nigla. You know, the word nace has a dual implication. Nace means alanisim, a wonder, but nace also means kimso nace, a flag or a banner, an indicator. Every nace nigla, which is a wonder, which is a pella, is an indicator of Hashgachas Hashem in day-to-day life. That's the chiddush that the Ramban writes. And the need to recognize that. Imagine if we experience the issue in the time of Hanukkah, and we are debating with someone as to whether that was an ace or whether that was considered to be a natural occurrence. Rabbi Barneati, true. Not so common, but not unheard of. Sometimes an underdog prevails. So you know what? The Chashmonaim were better equipped, and they were able to emerge victorious over the Yevanim. How do you know that that was an absolute nes of Hashgachas Hashem? But imagine as you're debating, in the background, there is a Pach HaShemen that continues miraculously to burn and to burn 8 days until we can resupply the Shemen, which is Tahar, undeniably. That is an Eis Nigla. And when simultaneously you have an Eis Nigla, and you question whether the Neis Nistar is a result of Yeshua Hashem, you think Kadosh Baruch Hu only performs the Neis to see to it that Halakos Neiros continues, and the Yeshua of Knesset Yisrael is incidental, and that is natural? That's exactly the Ramban. Umin hanisim hagdolim mefursamim andamoda benisim hanistarim. And therefore it is the Neis of the Pach HaShemen that informs the quality and the experience of the Muhammad. And therefore the Halal and the Hodah that we give for the Yeshua Hashem, that no doubt is the Maichanaka, the Nes of the Pach HaShemen. And therefore, as you light the Ner Chanukah, yes, Hanera Salalu, you have to be mindful of the Yeshuas, the Muhammad, because that is the purpose. The purpose of the Nes of the Pach HaShemen was not to see to it that the Avodah would continue. Let's assume the Rahman al-Islam Slavoda wouldn't have continued for a given day. Or let's assume the Kasha of Yeshua, the Chacham Tzvi, you could have continued the Avoda using Shemen that was Tameh. That doesn't look my right in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Beis, in Yuma Daf Vav, that Tumah is Kutra or Dechuya, the Tzibur. Tumah is not an insurmountable problem. We could have seen to it that the Avoda would continue. So why was all of this necessary? Because without the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, we wouldn't be able necessarily to perceive the fullest picture of the Hashgachas Hashem. And therefore, the confluence, the balance of these two Nisim and the dual commemoration, the symmetry of Hadlakas Haneros and the Chiyuv of Lahodos Ulahalel. The Prima Gadim has a fascinating comment that the Yevanim could have destroyed, they could have confiscated all of the Shemen, and it would have been more difficult for us to light, but they didn't do so. They were mitame the Shemen. And the Prima Gadim points out that this was not incidental, that since we wonder the Mikdash, so therefore incidentally the Shemen became tameh. They did so consciously, they did so deliberately, as though that it didn't disturb them that we would light the menorah, as long as we would do so using Shemen that was tameh. But to light the menorah in a way that exhibited Kedusha and Tahara, that was what the Yevanim felt was at stake. Now, Yavan was known for Chachma. For Chachma. They recognized Chachma Hashem. But in their view, Chachma and Kedusha were not necessarily linked. Why is Chacham necessarily rooted in a certain type of lifestyle and a certain sense of Kedusha? And what they saw at Knesset Yisrael was that Chachma and Kedusha are inseparable. You know, the Gzeros of the Yevanim had a streak of brilliance. They were gozer against Kiddush HaChodesh and Bris Milah and Shabbos, because they felt that, you know what, that these were three areas that were manifestations of not just Chochmah, but manifestations of Kedusha. To know Kiddush HaChodesh, great Chochmah. And after all, that's considered to be Chochmaschem, Binaschem, Le'eni HaAmim, all the difficult sugyas of the intercalculation of Kiddush HaChodesh. How is it that one meshes the solar year and the lunar months? Right? Great Chochmah. But why does that have to be necessarily fused with a sense of Kedusha? And therefore they attempted to put an end to Shabbos and Bris Milah and Rosh Chodesh. You know what? When we refer to these three institutions, we don't refer to Shabbos just as Shabbos. We refer to Shabbos as Shabbos Kodesh. And we don't refer to Bris Milah as merely a Bris Milah, but Os Bris Kodesh. And we don't refer to the Chishuv HaKodesh as simply a calculation, but rather as Kiddush HaKodesh. Now, we refer to these mitzvahs by the Kedusha that they manifest. And that was why Lahashkicham Torasecha, the attempt that you had of the Yevanim to wither away at Kedushas Yisrael. The Rambam writes an amazing comment. It's very questionable what the source of this Rambam is. It's found in the writings of the Rambam, which is called Igeres Hashmad. The Rambam writes that there was a fourth Gzeira. We always know in the Midrash the three are mentioned. The Rambam writes there was a fourth, somewhat unusual Gzeira. The Rambam writes a decree of the Yevanim, Shalo Yiskar Adam Pesach Besa. You weren't allowed to close the door to your home. Pretty astounding, no? The Yevanim decreed the door has to be open. You know what a home with an open door represents? Now that, after all, that any influence of outside society would permeate, and any Kedushas Habayis would diffuse. And the way that you make sure that Kedusha is maintained is by setting up certain guidelines and certain boundaries and the willingness to say Adkan, not to close the door. Imagine if your home had a revolving door now, and anyone could enter and leave at will. How do you maintain that sense of a Kedusha Sabayis? And therefore exactly that point, Shliyiskar Adam Beso, you know, it puts a very different understanding of why it is Me'ikar Hadin the Ner Chanukah should be placed at the Pesach Habayis. We usually think Pirsumin Issa. True, absolutely. Pirsumin Issa. But the Rambam, that was one of the gzeros of the Yevanim, that the door had to be unguarded. And if that's true, what better place to position the menorah than exactly at the Pesach Habayis, that the mezuzahs and mashkof are surrounded by the mezuzah, by the Ner Chanukah, in order to safeguard the entrance to one's home. That was part of how it is that we counter that influence and that attempt that one has of the Yevanim. The Prima Gadim uses amazing language that not that they hated Knesset Yisrael, but kin'u, they were envious of that which we achieved. Seeing Chochmah as a tool to be able to become a better Eved Hashem, to personify that sense of Kedusha. And maybe that's why, that even though technically speaking it's true, that one could have lit the Neros Satuma, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it through the Neis that would not be true, in order to emphasize that lesson, the need of Kedusha in Tara, in order to go ahead and to counter, even though technically speaking that could have been done. And maybe that's why Ner Chanukah is not just simply an Ikar HaMitzvah. You can get by minimally. Oh, there's Mahadrin. There's Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin. Because the whole Neis was on a level of Mahadrin. Because technically speaking, the Avodah could have continued even without the Neis of the Pach HaShemen. But the purpose of the Pach HaShemen was to see to it that you can have Habakkuk and Eros without reliance on that which minimally is necessary for the purpose of Habakkuk. And therefore, built into the Takkan of Ner Chanukah is Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, way beyond what we normally assume when it comes to Hidur Mitzvah. You know, the Gemara is in Bava Kama, Davtes, Hidur Mitzvah is Achlish, a third. You know, the Rambam gives you a case. The Rambam, the depiction of Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin. You have a family of 10, and it's the last night of Chanukah, so the Ikar Mitzvah is one candle, and you're lighting 80 candles. Now, 80-fold. Right, because of Hidur Mitzvah. The Gemara normally writes that Hidur Mitzvah doesn't require that you have to go so over, but not when it comes to Ner Chanukah. The whole lesson is one of that Kedusha and Tara that is evident. And it teaches us an important lesson, the need to go ahead and to take the experience of Chanukah and channel it for purposes of Tosefes Kedusha. If the tent of the Yevanim was Lashkicham Torasecha, so therefore, the symbol of Chanukah is the menorah. That was the vehicle of the Neis. The Gemara writes in Babasro Chafei that the menorah represents the Chochmas HaTorah. No? After all that, the Aron the Netziv writes represents Tor Shebichtav, the Luchos and the Sefer Torah, but the menorah represents the radiance of Tor Shebalpeh. No sefer in Torah Shebichsav commemorating the Nisim of Chanukah, unlike Kriyas HaMegillah, because after all, the whole Nes was on that plane, that realm of the primacy of Torah Shabbat Peh that we experience at that particular time. You know, when Rav Tarfon, you see here a beautiful chiddush, the Midrash always writes, you know what Rav Tarfon's response was always? Kaftor v'ferach. Not kaftor v'ferach. No, those are the images of the menorah. The prachim, the kaftorim, no, that for us represented the koach hachiddush. That sense that we have of the uniqueness of the primacy of the Torah Hashem. And this has to, no doubt, be one's mindset, that Chanukah is an opportunity to be able to channel that Kedusha in order to emphasize Limud HaTorah, Shmiras HaTorah Mitzvos. It's a vehicle, it's a tool to be able to counter that attempt of Yavanah. Someone recently had told me that there was a person in Bnei Brak who won the lottery. And as a result of winning the lottery, so, you know, they started living an upscale lifestyle. You know, the small dira wasn't the small dira anymore, and the simple car wasn't the simple car anymore. So the woman of the house, the wife, started to get a little bit nervous of eyeing her. You know, that everybody's going to look at them and say that, you know what you're doing, and maybe it. So she encouraged her husband to ask him, Chaim Kanievsky, where do you have to be concerned about the ayin hara of winning this lottery? So Rav Chaim said to him, he said, look, as a result of winning your lottery, are you learning more? You know, do you have more story? Did you go into semi-retirement and now you're sitting and learning? So he honestly said, no, he's been so busy with the finances that he wasn't able to go ahead and do so. As a result of winning the lottery, are you now more zohir in the midst of Hashem? He honestly said, no, not really. He wasn't able to do so. So Rav Chaim turned to him and said, so why would anyone be envious of you? Why would there be an ayin hara? Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives you certain tools, that you maximize them. Then that's it. You know, then a person can aspire to that. And for us, this is true when it comes to the time of Chanukah. These are opportunities that we have to be able to channel Kedusha, to be able to immerse ourselves in the Torah Hashem, and aside from all the celebration, the festivities, the commemoration of everything that we do, one can't lose sight of the threat of Ashkicham Torasecha, and that Baruch Hashem were able to emerge as Nisim Gluyim, Nisim Nistarim, in order to be able to not only survive, but to thrive in terms of the Yeshua Hashem. Our challenge, no doubt, is to take this experience of Hanukkah and to be able to utilize that as best as we can, to be able to see to it that we notch up in terms of Limud HaTorah, in terms of our Avodas Hashem, to be able to see to it that the proper answer to the threat of Ashkicham Torasech is to demonstrate how we revere the Torah Hashem. And even if a person can get by minimally with a single candle, but we're going to fulfill the mitzvah as Mahajim and a Mahajim. And even if, technically speaking, one could light Betumah, but that's not sufficient for us. And even if a person is an absolute ani, he'll be willing to sell the shirt off of his back in order to see to it that he participates in this great mitzvah of pursuing Hashem. These days should be times that bring about that threshold of Nisim Gluyim, to be able to experience Yeshua, and to be able to, as the Ramban writes, hone our vision, to recognize that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is not natural in that classic sense, but a bechina of Enes, of Am Yisrecha Shebecho Yomim.